How is everybody doing? It's Sunday, January 23rd, 2022. I'm John, here with Drew. And tonight we're just watching some football and hanging out. Hey, man.
What's going on?
Yeah, we just wanted to chat. Kind of missed you.
You know, I missed you too, John. I always miss you. But, you know, the other night I was thinking, have you ever had, like, a dream where you're just banging the shit out of somebody?
Oh, somebody?
That's the thing. Like, wasn't my wife. Wasn't even somebody I'd known. It was just, like, this random chick. And she wasn't even, like, a 10 out of 10. She was probably, like, one of those, you know, looks like a dirty slut that you just want to bang because you don't try to be a good fuck. But, like, not, like, hot. Like, I don't want to talk to her in the morning. So, anyways, I did that. Banged the shit out of her. Woke up in the middle of the night. It's, like, 1 a.m. You feel so dirty, like, laying next to your wife. You're like, man, I just, like, fantasized, banged the shit out of somebody. And now I'm going to go rub, like, my hard boner on her ass while I spoon her to go to sleep. You know, like, it's like, what do you do in that situation?
I feel like I should have been warned in advance of this. We had a perfectly normal pre-show, and you just spring this on me.
Spring this on you?
See, I mean, you're spooning me, and you've got the spooner that I wasn't expecting.
You can't tell me that's never happened to you, though.
No, it's happened, and then, like, whenever I wake up, I'm like, oh, God, was I, you know, doing anything while I was sleeping? Like, the horror would be that you're like, your wife is awake, and, like, she's looking over and you're just all squirming and, you know,
like,
and
a little hump motion going on.
She knows, like, what you're dreaming of. That's the nightmare.
Yeah, I mean, I felt dirty, but,
you wake up and she's like, who was it? Oh, man.
Yeah.
Do you remember it? Do you remember the dream? Do you remember what the
it was very like? Yeah, I remember all of it, to be honest. If you want to know the full details, I'll be happy to provide it.
Maybe a blog. Maybe we'll start a blog and just start posting it out there.
The story was more intense than the actual fuck.
Right.
All right, let me tell it. I'm in college, right? This was back in the college days, apparently.
There's a story?
It's a story. You got to listen to it. Okay. I'm a story porn driven guy.
But this is like a dream. I'm fascinated now.
All right. So now I'm in college, but I'm still married to my current wife.
Okay.
Now the wife's nowhere to be found, but here's where it gets weird. My mother-in-law is over a dorm room. So it's me, my roommate, and my mother-in-law. And I get a text message from this hot chick. Hey, I'm in your bed naked. Come fuck me. So I'm like, what do I do? Because I'm with my mother-in-law. So I tell my buddy, I said, listen, I gotta go fuck this chick. You gotta keep her busy. So I tell the mother-in-law I have to run out to the store. I go out the main door. I go around. I climb in my bedroom window. Meanwhile, I'm fucking the shit out of this girl with my mother-in-law right outside the door. This girl's as loud as could be. And then, yeah, I do my business. Then I have to get back out the window.
Wait, how long did it take you in the dream?
I feel like it was like a long half hour bone. It wasn't like, this was not like it was like a 3 minute thing. Like we went
not your usual.
not the usual. Yeah. And somehow I got away with this. My roommate kept the mother-in-law busy. I came back. I think I had like a carton of milk with me. I'm like, oh man, it was a big one.
Milk.
I don't know. What kind of dream is this?
How do you remember this?
I don't know. It was fantastic. I remember this, and I didn't remember this for the podcast.
Where did the carton of milk come from?
I probably went to, like, another, you know, buddy's dorm, said, hey, buddy, I need some milk. I need like, Tylenol. I need something to come back to my room with.
Oh, my God.
milk was the winner.
Oh, mercy me. Oh, my gosh.
Are you glad to be podcasting tonight, John?
I am glad to be podcasting. We are in halftime of the Kansas City-Buffalo game. Shows you our priorities here. Mm. Let's see if we can bang one out during halftime while we wait.
Yeah, why not?
But you have been having a good week outside of the, you know, including the dream.
Yeah, like, it's been a good week. I've been doing nothing this weekend. I watched football. I just went bowling. Didn't do much.
Yeah. No. So it's been a good weekend for football. I got a I'm actually excited for tomorrow. I've got some things. I told you, did I ever mention I had a client that hadn't paid me in a year? And that paycheck is clearing tomorrow. I'm like super excited. Do you ever have something that was just a part of your life for so long, you don't know how you're going to exist without that thing being true anymore? Like that's what I'm dealing with right now.
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't get that analogy.
I mean, tomorrow is going to be like this reality where I actually got paid. I've been living with this for a year. I'm just really excited for it.
That's kind of like hockey. I referee hockey for like 6 months and then I get paid at the end and it's like nice, nice big check. And I'm like, yeah.
Except they don't wait a year to pay you, Drew.
No.
A year. Not. But yeah. So let's go through a few updates here for the show. We have a few updates here for the Bounty Ward. We understand that it is actually starting to get very complicated to remember what bounties are still in existence and what aren't. Mm-hmm. We had somebody do the M&M bounty, which is shocking to me.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Stacking 3 M&Ms. They did it. And not only that, but 2 days later, the informant did it.
Yes.
And did a video, and so it was like amazing. And they even proved that they weren't like sticky or anything like that. But an informant did not know that that bounty had been claimed a couple days earlier because it just gets lost in the Discord. So we're going to be creating a new bounty board channel. By the time you hear this, it should be there because we're waiting on Tim to do it.
Yeah,
and so this bounty board is not going to be a discussion board on Discord. We really want everyone to kind of keep your discussions in the Dads After Dark Show channel. But like, we're going to post the graphics for the current bounties. You're going to know which ones have been claimed and which ones have not. So if there's any question about if something has been claimed or not, you'll be able to go to that board and just see it. No conversation. Like I said, it's just going to be pretty much graphics. I don't know what it's going to look like yet, but yeah, we just want to make that really handy for everybody so they know. So speaking of, there are now 2 bounties still on the board that are unclaimed. The first one is beating Shovel Knight Pocket Dungeon with King Knight. Mm-hmm. That is a $10 bounty, and that's going to be a hard bounty. But, you know, they got to be hard, right, Drew? I mean, always got to be hard.
Got to be hard. You got to make it hard.
And then we have a $5 bounty for getting a shiny in Pokemon Arceus. Obviously, that game hasn't been released yet, so we don't expect anybody to. And if somebody did show us a shiny tomorrow, I'm not sure we would accept it. But yeah, so starting next week, if you can get a shiny, just show us a shiny in Pokemon Arceus. We don't even know if there will be shinies. I don't think they've been confirmed or whatever. But $5 if you can show us a shiny. So that's the update on the bounty board.
And the person, John, that did, we did have a shout out to Texas Trey. He's the one that did the 3 M&M stacking.
That's right.
Which is amazing. He took a picture, he took a video to prove there was not glued together or whatnot. And to your point, the informant did the same thing. God bless you guys. Have you tried this? I tried it.
I don't have any M&Ms.
So I tried this and it did not go well for me. I could not stat 2 M&Ms. My 7-year-old came over and stat 2 M&Ms in about 8 seconds and I threw the M&Ms and I F this, I'm out. It was fucking hard. It was not easy. I was even trying to like push the M&M to crack it a little bit and cheat. So I did a little flatness. No, I couldn't do it.
Huh? I'd love to know if somebody can do 4. I don't think we're going to do a bounty on this one, but if somebody can do a video of 4, that would be fantastic. I would love to see that.
You might as well just get ready to tie the Guinness Book to World Record.
Exactly. Do it for pride right now, though.
Is tying a world record even like get your name in anything? Or no, you have to beat it.
Yeah, I think you have to beat it.
Okay.
Yeah, first person to get there always gets the credit, right?
Gotcha.
Cool. We have an update for Mario Kart Mayhem. Do you want to give?
Oh, we do. We are officially out of the trial seed-in, whatever you want to call it. And we are now into the head-to-head bracket mode. We had 9 contestants. Thank you, everybody that joined. I'm not going to read down all the names. But whoever finished in 8th and 9th seed is going to have a play-in game to make the bracket, which they'll play the number one seed. And it's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. So the first two rounds will be Grand Prix circuit modes, which again basically means you play all four races of that cup. And you're going to play with the computer plays and all of that. And just like all Mario Karts, you get points based on which place you play in. And yeah, whoever has the most points, you might not even win. A computer player might win. But if you, whoever has more points out of the two of you guys, that person moves on. It's going to be 150cc.
What happens if there is a tie? Do they just do it again?
Play the whole thing again.
All four
races. I mean, it doesn't take long. I mean, I'm talking about 10 minutes, you know, 15 minutes to play them.
It doesn't. Yeah.
And then what we're going to do for fun, hopefully, for the final four, we can get everyone on at the same time. The final four will be battle mode, where all four of you guys will be in battle mode, you know, with the little balloons, all at once. And the first person to win 2 points moves on, right? So essentially, you have to win. It's the last man standing, right? So you have to kill all other three people. You get 1 point. Then you play again, and you play again, and you play again. The first two people that get the 2 points move on, right? So the first person to win twice, they move on. Then you have a three people left, 1v1v1. Whoever gets 2 points moves on. And then those will be the two people in the finals. It's going to be fun. It's, you know, a little different. We're going to change it up a little bit, you know?
I'm looking forward to it. I don't really love Mario Kart 64, and I expect to be throttled immediately, but very interesting. The play-in game is Bob Cousy versus Chris HL 94.
That's a doozy.
I'm excited to watch that one.
Me too.
The winner goes against number one seed, the Ninformant. Man, what a week for the Ninformant.
I know, huh?
Wow, he's big.
He was killing it. He had all first places, and he's still submitting scores at the end there. I mean, it's just dedication. But John, it's set up for me and you to be each other in the championship.
Oh, it, yeah, look at you on the top bracket. Yeah, I don't think I'm gonna be seeing you there. Maybe you'll get there.
But I have to take down number one seed. Well, you not know, me. It's funny because once we get to the final four, you're not really head to head now. It's really head to head to head to head.
Right.
Which is nice.
Yeah. That'll be fun. I hope I can get there. I'm taking on Hambone Johnny. So it's John versus Johnny. The John.
It's going to be a tough one.
John match. All right. That'll be fun. We'll have another update next week once we get probably this first and second round done. Maybe we'll do round three, but we'll give some updates next
week.
Yeah,
we'll see how far we get.
In the meantime, how about a little what you've been playing?
Yeah, let's do it.
I can start. So this is weird. I somehow ended up playing Assassin's Creed Valhalla and Breath of the Wild at the same time.
It's just stupid.
I don't know how this happened. I've been giving updates on Valhalla. Yes, I am still playing Valhalla. I am 40 hours into Valhalla now.
How many hours is it, do you know?
I don't know. I have no idea how close to the end I am. I have lost a thread over what the ending is. I don't even know what the goal of this whole thing is. I think it's to like dominate England or something. I've been to Asgard, England, Norway. I've been to like, I've been out of the simulation, which is like the Assassin's Creed thing. I try to go through, like, I'll go a day without playing and then I'll try to get through an entire, like if you've played Valhalla, just a little campaign. Where you're trying to win, it's like weird. You are trying to win an alliance with somebody. So you go and you help these people out and then they become your allies. I think eventually you'll have enough allies that you can, I don't know, do something. But today, yeah, I spent 2 hours and I played through an entire campaign to get an alliance. Yeah, it's really repetitive and it's overstaying its weapon. I kind of wanted 100% this game, but I'm like, gosh, when I get the credits, I don't know if I'll keep playing or not. I'm not really sure. It's just so repetitive, and I've gotten into the mode where I'm just main questing now. I could stop and try to get those treasures, and no, I'm just going to go to the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. So yeah, but still playing. And then Breath of the Wild, yep. I just got past the first Divine Beast.
You're going to be so Breath of the Wild out. Breath of the Wild 2 is going to come out, and you'll be like, oh, man, I just played this other one again. You're going to fuck yourself.
I could have a nine-month gap before the next one. But
you have a baby between them.
I, no. Yeah. I I played it in 2017. The last time I played it was when the final DLC came out. So, I mean, it was 2017 the last time I played it. I don't really remember the story. I don't remember even some of the characters, like the champions. I was confused over the champions and who were the current day people. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. So it's like, you know, I couldn't remember it. And the memories and the story, I couldn't remember it. So I just wanted to play again. And I really enjoy the polish of this game. And when I had tried it a couple months ago, I got off the Great Plateau, but pretty much shortly thereafter, I stopped. But I'm basically in the game now where I'm like hunting down shrines, and I've definitely done some new side quests. So that's been exciting for me. There was a bunch that I missed last time. Yeah, now that I got the first Divine Beast, I feel like I have literally made progress towards being able to fight Ganon. So I'm kind of all in now. I'm going to try to, by the next show we do, I'm going to try to do all of the Divine Beasts by the time we do our regular show. That's my goal.
That's quite the goal.
Yeah, and it is nice when you get those Divine Beasts because you get a heart and you get a power. And so I went for the bird Divine Beast. Just based on my playthrough the first time, the power up where you shoot up in the air from the wind.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Super, super useful, especially when you're low on stamina. So that's really nice. And I remember it being the easiest one. And it really was. It wasn't that hard. Even the boss, like I remember fighting that Ganon boss. He's just so easy. You just shoot in the air and you shoot arrows at him. So I don't know where I'll go next. I think the Zora. I'm definitely not going to the fire area. I'll do the Zora or the desert. That'll be my next one. But yeah, no, I've had a lot of fun with that one. At times I'm like, do I really want to keep finishing this? But like, I don't know. There's not anything else I want to play right now. When Pokemon Arceus comes out, that's when I'll feel like, do I want to just go to Arceus and drop this or not? I don't know.
Nope, I don't.
We'll see. Anyway, what about you?
Well, let me tell you about a series you should be playing, because I have been so hooked, so deep in the lore of Darksiders. I have loved these games forever. There are three of them of the main story out there, and then there's kind of like a prequel side one that I'm not going to talk about. But so what is Darksiders? Darksiders is a hack and slash type puzzle-ish gameplay, right? So it kind of has that Zelda-ish theme, but it's more on the darker side. If you don't know the history of it, it's pretty much you guys play as the Four Horsemen. And the Four Horsemen are kind of the middle ground between hell and heaven. And they are responsible for keeping balance on the planet, right? So this takes place in like a post-apocalyptic world. And the Four Horsemen are kind of both on the, you know, they're in the middle. They're not bad guys from hell. They're not the good guys from heavens. They fight both of them. They fight both, you know, devils and angels, and they kind of help balance that. But it's amazing. So in the first game, again, there's four horsemen, there's three boys and one girl. First one you play is War, who has like this two-handed weapon with a pistol as well, I believe. The second one you play is Death, who's like more of a scythe type player. And then Darksiders 3, which I just finished, I played through it, you play as Fury, which is a whip, very similar to like I think like the Bayonetta type feel. And to use a little magic thrown in there as well. But again, this is just so fun. I absolutely loved this game. It's known for the hack and slash style with the puzzles and these epic boss battles. And it's an absolute pleasure. I love the lore, the storyline of the game. It makes you kind of want to keep going. It's great pacing, I feel like. You know, it definitely has that. You have a couple weapons and item upgrades you can go back. You collect souls when you kill people that can upgrade your weapons and some enhancements. It's not too sophisticated and it's not too simple. It is that perfect medium balance, and love it. Darksiders 3. Nice. I didn't finish it this today.
I would so give quickly this, you finished it.
I did. I probably played 20 hours in a week. I would give this game like a solid 8.5 to 9. I would say, I hate to say this, if you have the opportunity to play it on another system, you may want to do that. This is a very detailed game. There was a little bit of performance issues, not game breaking, but you know, the software definitely shut down a few times. We've all witnessed that on the Switch. A couple of like the save points when you load it, entered a screen, like it would freeze for like 3 seconds while it was like saving slash loading. But it had a lot of good depth. It had, you know, it had smooth. It was never like joggy when I was fighting. Never once. It was like those random moments when I was like entering a new area. I think it was just loading the world.
Right. Yeah.
So it never hindered my actual gameplay. But if you don't play handheld, it's fine. Play it. If you have the opportunity, the graphics look a lot better on the other systems. But Darksiders, love the series. There's a fourth game that's on my radar called Genesis, which is pretty much a remake of Diablo. It's a co-op. You can play as two people. I think you play as Strife, the fourth horseman. And I don't know. I think it might be War, the hammer guy. I'm not sure. You play with another one of them. And it's a Diablo dungeon crawler, you know, item upgrade drops type thing. In that third eye perspective, like bird's eye view. So that's going to be on my radar as well. This is obviously all the other ones are like that third person, again, action adventure game.
Right.
So yeah. Darksiders, John, you should give them a go. Give it a try. Like I said, if I had to put them in order, from what I remember, it's been a while. This one was really good. Two was also very good. Two might have been my favorite personally. And then one, I don't think one was quite as good as two and three.
But I think I played the first one. Was the first one the War Mastered edition?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think I played when you got it, when it came out, I played it. I think I played it for like 15 minutes or so. And I thought it was pretty polished for the Switch. That was my impression.
I said, it's very smooth. It's very polished. And I'm glad that the times it had problems were like loading screens and stuff like that, which again, isn't game breaking because it's not a big deal, you know?
Cool.
That's it. That's all I thought about today.
Nice. I guess we can talk a little bit about, I don't know, Microsoft buying the industry up.
Mm.
So as we already know, this news dropped earlier in the week, but Microsoft bought Activision Blizzard for $70 billion.
Well, not the first time. 0.7.
Yeah, I know.
Everyone's saying 70 votes, but $1.3 billion is a big roundup, right? That's like 2%. That's like saying if you went to the, you know, Home Depot and you bought yourself a nice Weber grill and it was $1,000 and they said, we're gonna charge you $1,200. Would you just say okay? No.
No, you wouldn't. But in this case, we're like, we're rounding $1 billion.
Why don't we at least round to 69? Because anytime in the industry, if you did use 69,
that's a good idea. I see, and it's more accurate. So Microsoft purchased Activision Blizzard for $69 billion. Nice. And so I don't know. Like, look, I think this has been analyzed to death. I think it's been analyzed too much. Mm. What is your take on this? What do you think?
Honestly, it is what it is. You know, as we know, and again, I'm not getting into it, Blizzard had its own internal issues, right? Which hopefully this is going to just resolve now, new management team. But overall, listen, when a company buys another company, they evaluate their assets, they evaluate, stock shares, they evaluate all these things. So Microsoft evaluated Blizzard and said, you guys are worth $69 billion. That's what we're going to buy it for. Now, everyone says, what does this mean? They're going to stop making games for both PlayStation and for Nintendo. I get it. Here's my problem. You know, they evaluated the company at $69 billion, which included the sales, right, to these other consoles. So if they start limiting themselves to just Xbox exclusives, then they're not really a $69 billion company anymore.
Right.
You know, so you just devalued your purchase.
Right.
They're not idiots. They're not going to just be just saying, we're not going to do this anymore. And let's be honest, you know, you look at some of the big properties that we talked about. Obviously, Call of Duty is the big one, right? But, you know, you think that means Diablo 4 is not going to come to Nintendo Switch? You're out of your fucking mind because no one's out there, like, buying consoles for Diablo, right? So why wouldn't they send Diablo to all the consoles? They'd be foolish not to do that. Do you know what I'm saying? And then I'm just using Diablo because that's probably one of their middle tier to their higher tier brands, right?
Yeah, I the only thing I will say, and I wanted to let you get out your point. The only thing I would say is you're kind of positioning Microsoft as buying a business because they think they can, get their money back and get profits from it. Whereas I think the idea of making your games exclusive is that you're purchasing a company to leverage making your own product better, right? That if they port Diablo to PlayStation and Switch, right, and they get more game sales on those platforms, but if they keep it exclusive to Xbox, they've made Xbox more valuable. Or if they put it on Game Pass, they've made Game Pass more valuable.
But how do you judge value based on money and sales, right? Because you should have every exclusive game on Xbox in the world. It doesn't mean shit if nobody's buying it. And we don't know, right? Maybe Eventually people would just break down and say, fuck it, I'm going to have to buy the Xbox. But you don't know that. And it could take years for that to happen. So it's hard to say what the value is. I 100% agree. I know what you're saying, where it's increasing the value of their properties, intellectual property, right? And now they have other rights, right? You know, I just saw today the Warcraft movie number 2 is coming out. Movie number 1, yeah, I actually liked it. Kind of a fan. But you got to remember, they own a lot of the rights to all this shit now.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they want to go make a Diablo TV show and sell it to Netflix for all we know.
Oh,
maybe that's what Microsoft has plans for. So maybe, I think, again, I agree with you, it's the value of the property, but it also, you got to put money with value in my eyes, because what else does it mean, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I agree. I was thinking about this whole purchase, and here's my general take on it. I don't see Microsoft as being any kind of big innovator in the gaming space. I'll give them credit for some things. They've really pushed online right since the beginning. You know, the Xbox Live services were the biggest ones. They've really pushed indies. I give them a lot of credit for indies. Xbox, what was it, Xbox Live Arcade or Xbox Arcade back? I didn't have a 360 back in the day. But like a lot of really cool indie games started appearing on consoles through Xbox. So I'll give them some credit for that. But overall, they've lost the console wars to PlayStation pretty consistently. And in the last generation, they got throttled. I mean, the PS4 just throttled the Xbox One. And that's been the same this generation. The PS5 has throttled the Series S and X. However, I think it's pretty clear that Microsoft is, I think, whether you say they quit on it or not, they're not really playing in the console wars anymore. This is sort of a service war for them. PC gaming is so big for, you know, PCs. I don't want to say them really, but their operating system certainly hosts a lot of it.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a different kind of war. But I mean, this is certainly a way for Xbox to defeat PlayStation, because right now we're still so early in the generation and the hardware has been so limited that they could make a comeback. In fact, I've always thought of PlayStation as like, wow, their first party exclusives are just so good, right? They have some really good first party. Last of Us and Last of Us 2 are just generational games. Mm-hmm. And they have the Uncharted series that they did. And they have even some of the lesser, not lesser known games, but like Ico, Shadow of the Colossus. They've always put out really great first party games. And nowadays they hang their hat on. They do Horizon Zero Dawn. They do God of War. So we know all that. And Xbox has just done nothing but purchase development studios over and over and over again. But we really haven't seen that pay off. We're just starting to see it a little bit. But still, I don't know if their first party stuff is a match for the PlayStation stuff. Where they are trying to win is with multiplayer games. And that never reaches like people like me. I don't give a darn about most of Xbox's first party games, even Halo Infinite. It's just not for me. But now, like, I was thinking about it going, gosh, now I'm starting to think, it's like, what does PlayStation have? Because Xbox has, I mean, they could literally do hours and hours and hours of presentations during an E3 now, because Bethesda and Activision Blizzard used to have their own thing.
Oh, yeah.
And so they do have a lot. But here's the deal. What really has Microsoft done outside of purchasing studios? When they started Xbox, they started it by buying Bungie. Bungie had made a game called Myth, and Bungie was working on Halo, and they basically bought Bungie and they turned Halo into their first party, you know, mascot, right? And then they bought Rare. I mean, they basically just started buying studios in order to like kind of form Xbox. And now they bought Bethesda and Activision Blizzard. They bought Mojang, which is still crazy to even think about. And, but where is this all taking them? Like, if they buy up the world, sure, they'll own the market. But it, how come PlayStation didn't buy Mojang? How come PlayStation didn't buy Activision Blizzard? Why didn't Nintendo buy Bethesda, right?
If one of them is so easy. Billion, you gotta remember too, Microsoft's income is multiple sources, right?
Exactly. And that's, you know, so that's the thing, right?
But I think that's the thing too, right? I think it's what do you feel comfortable with your income and sharing, right? Microsoft, I feel like mentalities, I'm not deep into these companies, but you know, Microsoft is sharing their revenue pool. If Sony is selling me a washing machine, I don't think that revenue is going to go into their PlayStation world. And maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah.
You know, they might kind of have their separate buckets where I don't think Microsoft's afraid to cross over their buckets because they have just so much fucking money. Do you know what I mean?
Right. Microsoft. Yeah, exactly. Their Xbox profits are not what funds all this, right? It's Microsoft.
Correct. Correct. Yeah. And where Sony, again, I don't know how that works, but they might be different.
Yeah, and Nintendo too. So like you said, you buy Activision Blizzard, you know, now they can go make money by doing a Diablo show. Well, Activision Blizzard could have done that, right? There may be a chance that Microsoft can make that happen a little better. But still, like, they could have done that, but they sold the company for $70 billion. Microsoft is not going to make back that $70 billion for years and years and years and years and years. But they will generate profits from Activision Blizzard. They will start getting those profits. They're just down in the hole $70 billion now. But another thing I did remember was, remember when Disney bought Marvel?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how do you forget it, right?
Well, yeah, it's a great example, though. What they did. What did they transform Marvel into?
They brought it into their parks. They brought it onto their Disney Plus.
They made, I mean, how many movies did they make, you know?
Yeah, when did Disney buy Marvel? The Marvel studio existed before Disney bought Marvel.
Right? Yeah, but it's like Pixar, right? I mean, the same thing with Pixar that they bought. It's all that stuff. No, yeah, I hear you.
Right. But Disney, you know, if you think about Disney Plus is, they're trying to pass Netflix. I don't think Disney Plus can pass Netflix without Marvel, because for the most
Marvel
part,
Marvel and Star Wars, right? That's their bread and butter.
Yes, exactly. How many people buy Disney Plus for the Star Wars stuff and the Marvel stuff, not the Disney stuff?
Well, no one's buying it for Mighty Ducks Game Changers.
Right,
But good show. Good show. Right. Yeah, no one's buying it for that. I agree.
So Microsoft could leverage this in a way that we haven't seen. But what has Microsoft done with, like, let's say Minecraft, right? They bought Mojang. I don't know if Mojang just existed. How that for a touchdown right there.
Yeah.
If Mojang just existed, they would make a bunch of money. Microsoft, what have they done differently? Are we seeing more expansion? Are they just offering more resources? But considering how successful Mojang was with Minecraft, they could have had a big studio too. I don't really see what Microsoft is going to do with Bethesda and Activision Blizzard besides just owning all these IPs. And so, It'll make sense for them in some ways to make some of these exclusive to Xbox. Not all of them. I don't think they should do that with Call of Duty. But the advantage that Microsoft has is it doesn't matter if they fail. That's the key. It doesn't matter.
I agree. So it looks like in 2020, Blizzard's revenue was a little over $8 billion.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like they net, on average, I don't know, I'm throwing numbers out here last second, about 25% of their 25% of their revenue is net profit.
Right.
So they're making only about $2 billion a year. Let's just $2.5 billion. You know, whatever.
Exactly.
Let's just give or take. So again, that's going to take a long fucking time for Microsoft to get their money back, right?
Yeah.
They're going to have to do something magical. And I'm sure they have, like I said, these ideas. Who knows? Mm-hmm. All we know, John, is later this year they announce Microsoft TV, like Apple TV. You know, who knows what's going to, you know, maybe they have all these other shows lined up and they're trying to build their, you know, look at The Witcher. Look how successful The Witcher was.
Yeah, but does that, is that, how much money does that generate?
It makes people want to subscribe. Obviously, like you said, they're all about subscriptions right now. That's mm-hmm. what they're sold. That's their business model. That's what they right. want.
And it does come back to the fact that we don't know how much money Game Pass makes. Xbox, they don't say anything, but they, I don't think they make money. I think they lose money. But if they make money, they're not making much money. If you look at the math, we love to say, oh, wow, they're going to put Call of Duty on Game Pass and everyone's going to subscribe to Game Pass. Let us not forget how much money it costs to build Call of Duty, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, these are half a billion dollars to make a Call of Duty game, right? These things take a lot of money. So you got to spend this money. You don't just like throw these games on Game Pass and that's it. There is a here's the thing. There is a reason why Nintendo does not have a real Game Pass and PlayStation does not have a real Game Pass. Nintendo's Game Pass is just their old NES, SNES games.
You start putting these other third parties on there. I don't know how it works. Like you said, is it every time they play it or download it, do they have to go pay that company, you know, so many cents or dollars? Who knows?
From what we've seen, it's different with everybody. It's just like either we'll give you a flat rate. If you want 3 million, we'll pay you 3 million right now. Or it goes by downloads. I've actually downloaded some indies and like just started them just to see if it would like, you know, maybe that'll help them out.
You know what? But, though, it's going to be no different than a podcast. We can see how long somebody listens to a podcast. You can see how many minutes somebody plays of the video game. You know, technology's there to figure that shit out. I'm not worried about that. But,
right.
You know, yeah. But if you own all these companies, you're not paying anybody else either. So every subscription is more profitable.
I know, but you don't pay them, but you are now paying to make the game. You're actually paying more. To put that on Game Pass because you had to spend maybe $100 million to make the game in the first place. True. You know, these are not cheap. Like if I have a game, what went on, like Death's Door went on Game Pass recently. Okay. Death's Door is a very popular game. It was a game of the year candidate. They're not putting it on Game Pass for free. You know, they're
also can't be making $10 or $15 on it either for every person that plays it.
They could be making 10. Because every time you play it on Game Pass, you might have taken a sale away from them on another console. So they're not going to give that away. And if the Game Pass model is going to be so successful and make so much sense, you know, Nintendo would have a Nintendo Game Pass, maybe, you know, $15 a month, and you can play all their first party games for free. Same with PlayStation. PlayStation has like PS Now, PS Plus. But they don't put their first party games on their day one.
Nintendo will never have that. Let's be clear.
If it is a moneymaker, though, why wouldn't they do it?
I just don't see how that's a moneymaker.
Exactly my point. Because it's not a moneymaker. I've always called it a loss leader for Xbox. I bought an Xbox. I bought 5 controllers. And I buy the occasional Xbox game because Game Pass brought me in. That's what it is.
Everyone has always said that the hardware is never a moneymaker. Everyone, they say you always lose money on the hardware.
Especially early on, yeah.
And software is where you profit. So again, I don't really fully understand Microsoft's model then. They're not making money on a $300 Series S either, right?
No. Well, no, most hardware doesn't really make money. Nintendo tries to profit more, I think, than the others do, which is why their hardware is not.
My point is, I could go buy a $300 system, play these AAA games for $15 a month.
Correct. They're not making money. They're not making money on it.
And
but if they can go from 25 million subscriptions to 100 million subscriptions, they're going to be getting about, you know, $120 million. Wait, is that right? If there's 100 million subscriptions and everyone's paying $10, right?
It's a billion.
That's a billion. So that's a lot of money. But if you have 100 million people subscribed to Game Pass, you know, Death's Door is going to be like, well, hey, if we put our game on Game Pass, I mean, think of how many sales we're going to lose because there's 100 million gamers.
Yeah, again, that goes back to the 1 billion revenue a month, but right. How much is that net profit? And I bet you it's zero.
Exactly.
When you're buying games, you're paying out your digital licensing costs, and you're making more games.
Exactly. Yeah, if you have 10 people subscribe to Game Pass, and you say, we're putting Call of Duty on there, you're not going to pay the Call of Duty people $1 million, right? You'd be like, well, there's only 10 people that might play this game. But when you have 100 million people on the service, you have to pay out four times as much as when there's 25 million people on the service. I don't know. And look at Netflix, too. I mean, Netflix, with competition in the space, they're not as popular. People are dropping their subscriptions. They're not gaining as many because there's HBO Max now, and there's Hulu, and there's Disney Plus, and people can't do all of these. So eventually what might happen is Nintendo will be more serious, and PlayStation, it sounds like, is about to get more serious with their Game Pass. And then what does that do? Is Game Pass going to get to 100 million? I don't know if it gets to 100 million. You know, I mean, if Nintendo had one with similar games, I'd be like, I don't know. I'll just drop my Game Pass and get the Nintendo.
Yeah.
In the end, what I'm going to say is Microsoft has not demonstrated that any of these strategies have actually worked for them. Xbox, you know, has not been the top console for a long, long, long time. So we'll see. But they can fail. They can mess this up. They're not geniuses. It's just that they have so much money, they can afford to screw it up.
They can. I'll just leave it as how I started it, is I don't foresee this meaning some of these big AAA games are no longer on other systems. I truly don't see that happening.
I hope you're right.
I mean, Microsoft has already showed that other games can go to their games can go to other systems, right? They're not idiots. Like you said, Minecraft. Right? I mean, you know, Cuphead's a small version of that. But, you know, Minecraft, they know, is such a billion-dollar game. Why limit it to one system?
Right. They probably made their money back on Minecraft.
Correct.
I don't think they bought Minecraft for all that much. We're talking like a couple billion. I can't remember what it was.
It's pretty big when you think about it.
But for them, it was like pennies.
Yeah.
You know, and so they're just getting the profit. So like your angle is really like they're buying these companies and they hope to just make profits and just make more money.
I think they're going to long term think of other strategies, like I mentioned, on how they can increase profits for these games.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think the internal structure of the company of Blizzard is going to function too differently than it has. I think they're still going to put out the same types of games and have high quality games. I don't see that change. I could be wrong, but I think that stays the same, except it's under now the Microsoft umbrella.
I think they will turn some of these into first party only titles. I don't think all of them, but I could see like an Overwatch or just anything. I don't know the numbers behind them, but I could definitely see them strategizing and taking some of these so that they're just their Xbox games.
I just don't see all. I think you got to continue some money inflow somewhere.
Yeah. And by the way, they own all the Sierra properties, which I don't know. People have been talking about King's Quest a lot lately just because it's like, wow, they own, you know, King's Quest, Space Quest, Police Quest, Phantasmagoria. Like they own all these great Sierra franchises. I'm not saying those are going to be like the big winners, but I mean, that's
Blizzard
just really
owned them
cool
as well. Like they didn't do anything then. So like,
exactly.
There's a reason why these games were never brought back.
Exactly. They do have a lot of cool stuff though, that is sort of dead now. StarCraft, Guitar Hero. That's pretty funny, but yeah, we'll see. All right, before we go, we got a multi-part question from Bob Cousy that we just had to answer. I'm not going until we answer. I don't care how long it takes, Drew.
Okay.
He asks us this very hard-hitting question. How can I leave a voicemail?
Well, simple, John. You're going to make sure you leave it in the show notes when you edit the episode. Simple as that. We got to add the little link.
We don't have to do that. It's automatic.
It should be. I don't think it was there last week, though. I got to be honest, John.
Oh, really? No, I think it's automatic.
It should be automatic. If you go to the show notes of almost any episode, it's there. You click it. It's actually great. It brings you to the Anchor website. And then you just hit a leave a voicemail, and it's right there on your phone. You turn on speakerphone like you're making a phone call. And it goes directly to our inbox, and then we can share it on the show. Simple as that, folks.
Yeah, we'd love to have them. We never did these before, and with Anchor, we got one from Sean, and let's hear it.
Let's do it up.
Second question, John, why are you so excited to see a trailer for a game you've played multiple times? He is referring to Life is Strange Remastered. Because I haven't played Life is Strange Remastered. This isn't hard, Bob Cousy. That was a different game. Were you not excited for Skyward Sword HD? I mean, I was excited to see Skyward Sword HD.
Kevin,
by the way, there is an update on
this. You just understand to just leave it alone. I've learned that over the years with John.
Leave it alone, Bob.
You got to leave it alone because no matter what you do, no matter how right you are, in this case, very right, you can't win.
I will update. They did say, by the way, the news was the remaster is going to be delayed on Switch indefinitely, which is really frustrating.
Definitely.
But they are putting out a new trailer Tuesday, and I am so excited. I can't wait to see it. So they're doing that. Remember, it's not just a remaster. They're reanimating and doing like mocap performances. So I'm super excited for it. And it's still coming out February 1st. I'll be playing it. Next question. Also to me, you shit on Red Dead Redemption 2 in every way possible, gave it an 8 out of 10 score. Why is that? I did give it an 8 out of 10 score. I didn't even believe you, Bob, but like, you're right. We did an episode a while back and I told Drew, I said, I don't know why this game is a 97 out of 100 on Metacritic. I said, it's more of an 8 out of 10 game. I wasn't really saying that was what my rating was. It was more of like super objective John saying this is not like a 97 game. Okay. It doesn't have a fantastic story at all. It doesn't really do anything different except for its graphics and animation. It doesn't really do anything crazy besides that. But for me, I think I said it would be a 4 out of 10. I did not like this game. And then last one, this one's for Drew. Drew, I spit my whiskey in my kid's face when you said Forza would come to the Switch. Will your insurance pay for her blindness?
Well, you know, as I answered in the Discord, a few things are going on here. This is a very multi-part question here. I stand by my prediction, one. Number two, God bless you for listening to Dad's After Dark, anything related with your kids in the room. So touche to you there.
Maybe it's just headphones. Maybe he just had headphones on.
Yeah, that's fair. That is true. But you got to also remember, when you listen to Dad's After Dark, it's fair game. I mean, anything could happen, anything could be said. And you got to go into that episode like you signed your waiver. And I'm sorry, but I cannot. But every time you look at your daughter's blindness, you now think of me, which I don't know if that's good or bad, but I will not be paying any insurance bill.
Dude, Forza is not going to be on the Switch. You're out of your mind.
Maybe. You never know. You never know. Can't say never.
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 Never. Has any never. Of the Forzas ever been on a Nintendo console?
What's more likely, that or Ages of Mages 2?
Ages of Mages 2.
Wow.
Isn't that coming already? I thought that was like confirmed.
That is not confirmed.
Was that a joke?
I think if we just say things enough times, it, you know, drive it into your head.
We need to reach out to the Ages of Mages developer and see if we can have a guest spot with them.
I mean, we've gotten them at least like 8 people to buy their game. We probably doubled their sales this year.
We probably have doubled it. I want to know what their sales are, but I know they wouldn't say it, but I want to know what was going through the developer's brain.
It's not that bad.
It's awful.
No.
Even my kids. Understand. Remember I said my kids want to keep playing and we haven't.
Yeah.
They didn't.
See? They want to play it.
I think they were just trying to be nice to Uncle Drew.
Bad father. You won't play it with them.
All righty. Does that wrap us up?
That's it. That was fun. Good little mini-sode.
All right. We'll be back with a full episode next week. But for now, say goodnight, Drew.
Good night.
Good night.
The Dad's After Dark Show is part of the Nintendo Dad's family of podcasts. You can subscribe to us anywhere podcasts are available, including iTunes, CastBox, Spotify, and Stitcher. Also, don't forget to leave us a 5-star review. Pretty please. Be sure to join us on the Nintendo Dads Discord in our Dads After Dark channels for some naughty After Dark talk. Follow us on Twitter at NDadsAfterDark or email us at DadsAfterDarkShow@gmail.com. That's all for tonight. Good night, Dads. Sweet dreams.